Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. The budget passed by the State House a few weeks ago relied on more aggressive lottery advertising to raise money for teacher pay raises. The plan was later dropped in budget negotiations, but some House members still support the idea. That comes as the Catawba Indian Nation continues to push to open a casino not far from Charlotte on Interstate 85. Les Bernal with the group Stop Predatory Gambling thinks it's a mistake for the state to rely on lottery revenue or partner with casinos. Bernal joins us now to talk about it. Well, Les, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
It's great to be on.
Let's talk about what's happening in North Carolina. There's a push for another casino. The Catawba Indian Nation wants to put a casino near Kings Mountain off Highway 85. You've been working on this for a long time. Why is this such a bad idea in your view?
There isn't a public policy in American government today that creates more unfairness and inequality of opportunity than in government sponsorship of casinos and lotteries. So they're both kind of related to each other. But casinos are really the most predatory form of gambling out there. And a lot of your listeners may think, well, how can this be a public policy? Right? It's illegal to run a casino unless government is a partner to it. And so this latest proposal now in the Kings Mountain region, there isn't a public policy that'll come in and extract more wealth from that area than bringing in a casino. And it's been a failed experiment. I mean, as we speak, Atlantic City is closing casinos. Detroit, the city of Detroit, is going bankrupt. It's a complete mess. And the answer, you know, 15 years ago was let's bring in three casinos. And if anything, it's just exacerbated the poverty that's there.
I know you hear this argument all the time, but what we read and hear from folks who are pushing this is that it will create thousands of jobs, maybe 4,000, in a state where we're still struggling with the lingering effects of the Great Recession. So why shouldn't we create these jobs?
I totally understand the argument that people need to work. But there's two important responses that I think just knock down the phoniness of those who stand up and argue that casinos somehow are good jobs. So the first is casino jobs. You know, whether they're building casinos or that they actually work inside the casinos, these are jobs that produce inequality. All right, these aren't jobs that produce economic growth. Anyone who you know is looking to grow a region, to build an economy, to expand the middle class, to provide real opportunity for people, casino jobs are the complete opposite of that, because all they simply do is extract wealth from your neighbors through addiction, through financial inequality, making people go into deeper debt. So a small group of people benefit, and really the only people that benefit from the casino themselves are the people that own the casino. And it's no coincidence that all the casino executives and the people that make the slot machines, comes to IGT, they don't gamble. They don't lose their own money on this product. No one can name another business in America where the people that own it and promote it don't use it. That's what underscores what a ripoff this is. So casino jobs create inequality, and they're only going to exacerbate the unfairness that already exists here. And so public officials would be wise to go out. There's no shortcuts to building economic growth. It's going out and investing in education. I know there's some argument, well, we want to help the tribe, the Catawba tribe, that's suffered a lot of injustice over the years. And that's certainly an important objective. But the idea that giving them the most predatory business in the country is somehow going to cure that, if anything, what we've seen from other states where they've had tribal casinos, that too has been a failed experiment. It's been a failed public policy. The only people that really benefit from tribal casinos are the financial backers that use the tribe as the front. The tribe here is being used as a front. If people are serious about helping Native American tribes, then let's provide what people really need, real education, real opportunity, not the most predatory business in the country.
I know you've heard this before, too, and when I have conversations with people about it, whether it's a lottery or casinos, and I want to ask you about the lottery specifically in a moment, they'll say nobody is making people pull off the highway and spend their money at these machines or at these blackjack tables or whatever it is they'll be doing in there, and that it's people's choice.
What's great about that argument, I do hear that as well. It's very much an elitist argument in the sense that the people that stand up and push that stuff, they're not losing their paychecks on $20 scratch tickets or playing slot machines 4 to 5 times a week, right? This idea that, we're having this national debate around the lack of social mobility and the financial inequality in our country, this issue is a poster child for that. There's one thing that we could do, whether you're Republican or Democrat, to meaningfully address inequality in our society. It's to take these casino corporations and these lottery corporations out of government. The evidence shows it's been a huge failure because it's contributed to the unfairness and inequality in states across the country. The idea that somehow someone else losing their money, quote unquote, voluntarily benefits society, we all lose from that, you know, that situation. The guys that make the slot machines, they stand up, they say, slot machines are for losers. That's what they told the New York Times. Slot machines are for losers. So the idea that people are doing this voluntarily, and the business model is based on people's, you know, preying on people's desperate hopes to change their financial condition, or people who are based on addiction. Those are the two primary reasons why people use lotteries and casinos, change their financial condition, or to, you know, because they're addicted to the product. How is that, quote unquote, voluntary? You know, they're not being honest with themselves, and they say that that's somehow a good policy. It's a public ripoff, and we all suffer for it.
What do you make of the politicians of both parties? And you have mentioned Democrats and Republicans, and this is a bipartisan issue on both sides. There are people of political philosophies on both sides of this issue. But why are politicians so enthralled, it seems? You know, I'm sure you know, the North Carolina Republican Party actually had their state convention at the Harrah's Casino in Cherokee this past year.
It's an embarrassment that they do that because, you know, the purpose of government, you know, whether you're a Republican or Democrat, is really to go back to kind of this primary theme here, right, to give everyone a fair shot, to provide equal opportunity and fairness for all. What Republicans and Democrats will often disagree on is how to achieve those two objectives, but those generally are two values that we have in common as a people, no matter where you sit on the spectrum. This public policy exists not because citizens are pounding the table, you know, for $20 scratch tickets or for slot machines in their community. This was driven by one of the most powerful special interests in the country in the gambling industry, in partnership with some public officials who are, one, on the make politically. They see this is a great, the gambling industry is a great source of campaign contributions. And secondly, it also provides a gimmick to look like, you can have it all, right? We can fund schools, we can lower property taxes, you name the gimmick, right? We can provide college scholarships for kids. And look, it's not going to cost you anything. It's going to be this magical revenue source we call gambling, which we call predatory gambling. So it's cheating and exploiting people. The evidence shows in state after state this has been a huge public policy failure. And anyone serious about reforming government, no matter where you sit on the spectrum, it runs through taking government out of the predatory gambling business. Like this business wouldn't exist to the extent it does today if government wasn't a partner to it. And the big picture here, what government incentivizes, right, shapes our character as a people. So if we wonder why, you know, there's been a lot of talk about all the cheating that's happening in society today, the exploitation, you know, these payday lending companies, predatory lending, all this, you know, where do you think this ethic comes from? The public voice of government in North Carolina is constant calls to get people to gamble, to lose money on a game that's rigged against them, that the people are guaranteed to lose. Most of your listeners hardly ever buy a lottery ticket, okay, because they know it's a public ripoff. But yet it's kind of this voluntary cynicism, right? The opposite of people who play voluntarily the lottery, the opposite of that is a voluntary cynicism. So people who don't play and they know it's a ripoff and don't do anything about it, we're all just as guilty for standing on the sidelines and contributing to the unfairness and inequality in American life today by letting this public policy exist.
On your last visit to North Carolina, I remember you telling a story, which I thought was astounding. I think our listeners would benefit about the ATM machines that are actually in casinos, whether it's in Cherokee, and I assume the same thing would be here if we had one near Kings Mountain, that actually prey on the folks who have the biggest problem.
The lotteries make 70 to 80% of their profits from 10% of the people who actually play the lottery. But casinos are even more extreme. So there's 11 independent studies over the last decade that show that casinos make 40 to 60% of their profits, their slot machine profits, which is the big money maker in casinos, come from people who are addicted to slot machines. And the way that casinos cultivate these new addicts is if you go into a casino, you know, they give out free play, right? If a casino was to come into Kings Mountain, they're going to mail free play out to, you know, within a 50-mile radius of this location. By that, I mean they're going to mail direct mail, get $50 worth of free slots play. You got to go into the casino, and then you got to fill out the consumer card, right, in order to access it. But then they track your play. So if you show the propensity to play quickly and so forth, they will market you more aggressively. But the signature, the exclamation point to show that if you're a good prospect to become a quote-unquote addicted gambler in the eyes of the casino is if you chase your losses. So if you take that $50 worth of free slots play, and then, you know, you went through that and you say, I'm going to go hit the ATM. If you chase your losses, like that's the number one indicator of someone who has problem gambling behavior, if you chase. So what they'll do is that the casinos want to say, oh, we don't know who the addicts are. All the casino ATMs are owned by, you know, a couple of companies, mostly the biggest one's called Global Cash Access. Global Cash Access sells the names of the people that use casino ATMs back to the casinos, and then the casinos market to them these individuals like crazy. But what's more predatory than that? And it's all done with the blessing of state government. And that's what's outrageous. This is a government program doing it. These predatory practices wouldn't be allowed unless government was a partner.
Finally, before I let you go, we're having a debate here about how to pay for teacher raises and other things in North Carolina. And the State House has proposed, now they've backed off some, but had a proposal to more aggressively advertise the lottery and convince more people or to sell more tickets, I guess, to fund education. Is this something we're going to continue to see?
You're going to see gimmicks like that. People who are real leaders, political leaders, regardless of their party, they don't stand up and promote the lottery or its advertising because it's a gimmick. It's been a failed policy. Anyone who stands up and says, let's increase lottery advertising or let's add more predatory tickets, that's not new money going to education. It's nothing more than a shell game. If the public of North Carolina believes that teachers, you know, who do important work in our society deserve a raise, then that's something all of us need to chip in and participate in. The idea that we should put teacher raises for public school teachers on the backs of the working poor in the state and the desperate and the addicted underscores the whole integrity of what government is supposed to represent. So that's why anyone serious about reforming government today, no matter what your issue is, what your big issues are, it runs through ending the public policy of government sponsorship of casinos and lotteries because it's dishonest and it's cheating citizens every day in the name of doing something good. And we need to get that right.
Well, Les, thank you very much for coming to North Carolina with your message. Thanks for what you're doing, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks for your work. You guys do a great job.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.